Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello everyone. Peterborough United are finally off the board in the 24-25 season. We've beaten Shrewsbury Town away 4-1. Two goals from Kwame Poku and two goals from Joel Randall towards the end of the game, having gone 1-0 down in the first half. I'm joined today by every host. We have a full house of the seven of us. Ash, John, Dell, Lods, Charlie and Max and all here and me, Harry. We'll take you through it. We are also going to be talking about the Oxford United Carabao Cup game on Tuesday night. And we finally will be wrapping up with a preview of Exeter City, which is next Saturday. I will come to John to talk us through a little preview of the game overall and tell us about a couple of players that had notable performances for you, John.
Well, what a relief to see that performance is the first thing I want to say. I think I came on the pod and I said I wanted to see us dominate the ball. I wanted to see us back in the style of last season, creating chances, because we hadn't seen enough of that over the first two games. And that was a brilliant performance. In fact, we were more dominant this season than we were last season, which I thought was great. In terms of the performers, there's obviously seven of us on. So I could talk about the whole team and go through as a collective, but I think we're going to divide them up between us. So two that I wanted to single out, and the first was Abraham Odo. I thought he was absolutely sensational. Genuinely, so much better than I predicted him to be. And it ties back to Oxford a little bit as well, because I thought he was very promising there. But in terms of his technical ability, it was just leagues above League Two. I just didn't see him being that good already, to be honest. He was a constant menace. He defended well, which was great. And yeah, I thought he was one of our best players on the pitch. And you have to give massive credit to Posh's scouting network to be able to pick these players up from Harrogate Town to replace Mason Clark, because I know it's very early days in his career. And look, he's still got to prove some bits in a Posh shirt. I can't say he's going to be an unqualified success after one game. But that performance there was levels above anyone that Shrewsbury had on the pitch, let's face it. And if he's got that potential within him, and this is after, what, one League One game, he could be a hell of a player for us. And we talk about signings of the season. There's a real chance that he could be right up there. If he keeps that level up and that is his genuine level, he's going to be one hell of a find for Posh, because I just thought he was absolutely excellent. Deserves a hell of a lot of credit. And the other person I wanted to talk about was Joel Randall. I came on a couple of weeks ago and I said his performance was unacceptable, and that was against Huddersfield. And I genuinely thought that at the time. I thought yesterday it was still a Randall performance, in the sense that there were still some frustrations with it. But I thought we saw the strengths of Joel Randall yesterday, which is his positional work is so good. He is very, very good at picking up 1-2 passes. And when Collins is on song in particular, he's very good at adjusting his position to receive the ball from him and then passing it on to another player. And he just knows the system so well. And that's why I think Ferguson's so reluctant to drop him, because his positional play is almost as important as what he does on the ball. He's constantly an option, which is great. He never really shies away from receiving possession. He does shy away from tackling, but he is constantly an option for his teammates, and he knows the system very well. That's not to say I don't have my frustrations with Randall, and I still think he can improve. And look, let's face it, some of the first goal is on him, because he didn't defend well enough again. And that's the same for the Oxford game. One of the goals was directly down to his fault, really. So there are improvements that he needs to make. And even on the ball yesterday, there were a couple of times where I thought he was wasteful with it, and there was still some frustrating things around it. But if he keeps that positional play, and that, I think that is the key point for me to take it away, is just how well he knows this system now. He plays the system perfectly. And I thought he was much better yesterday. And that's with disregarding his two goals. His two goals were just the icing on the cake at the end.
Okay, well, I want to jump in there, John, because first of all, I'll talk about Odo in a minute, but Randall, fucking hell, really? I don't think he was that good. And the reason I don't think he was that good, he had 1 minute of like doing something really good, if that makes sense, followed by something really shit. So he kept like, he was inconsistent, so inconsistent. You just look at his set, the goal that we conceded. That goal could have been conceded if he had, you know, he just got close to his man, for example. He's a midfielder there. Mate, he had the space, and Randall just stood there and fucking looked at him. All he had to do was, like, do two steps, and he's, like, blocking that shot. As Dara said, Darren says, he's a soft cunt. He needs to toughen up, you know. He really needs to toughen up. He reminds me of Marcus Madison, who, you know, he did have the skill, and he could be a really good player, but he just didn't like putting his body on the line. And I think Randall needs to start doing that. Some of his positional play was, yeah, pretty good. But then he just passed the ball or whatever to nobody's. And I was up and down with his score, if I'm honest. I had him down as a 4. And I didn't give him a 5 because he had two little, like, tappings that even if he had fallen over and the ball had hit him in his bollocks, it still would have gone in, you know. But he scored 2 goals. He's got to be in the right place, fair enough, at the right time to score. But I just wasn't – I'm not – I don't know. And all last season, I was defending Randall left, right and centre. But I just feel he needs to toughen up. He needs to grow some bollocks and he needs to get stuck in and be a bit stronger. So I went for a 5 and I think I was being generous with a 5. But, you know, life is full of opinions. Going back to Odo, I agree with it. I thought he was superb. I really liked him. I remember seeing us in the first friendly. When I say the first friendly, I mean the first friendly on English soil. Just watching him, he was like, yeah, I like the look of him. He's got a bit about him. He's got that sort of the enjoyment, the wow factor. And, you know, he's by far not the finished article, but I thought some of his play and yesterday was very good. It was entertaining. You want him to have the ball and he's just going to run at players. And I think that's what us fans want to see, a bit of entertainment, a bit of support and a bit of enjoyment. So overall, Randall, still not for me this season, I'm afraid. Good and bad. Odo, I'm looking forward to what else he does for the rest of the season. On that note, I'll be quiet for a minute.
Yeah, on Randall, one thing I did notice yesterday, I think a lot of people think he's having a bad game based on misplaced passes and passes not going into him. But the fact is that he's making runs and getting into positions that no other player is, and that's his job. The players look like they're getting used to playing with him and understanding where he's moving to and when. And I think that's why it looks like maybe he's not as good as in possession as what we'd expect from a number 10. There was times where he was passing it back to the midfield and then quickly flipping around the defender, getting into the space behind him. I think it's really great that he's aware of that space, but the midfield players aren't aware that that's where he's going. So where they're trying to return the ball back to him, it's not going into that space. I think it will take time. After a few games, I think that movement will be absolutely fine. And I think Randall will be a key player throughout this season still. As for his defending, it could be better. I think he made a similar error at Oxford as well, not closing down the ball into the box. But that's not his job, is it? We shouldn't really criticise him too much on his defending. The fact that he's having to come back and defend the balls into the box as a number 10 is probably more worrying than his ability to do that, I think.
Well, I think you're wrong there, lads. I think if you attack as a team, you've got to defend as a team. And that's now 2 goals that we have conceded as a result of his inability to track a man or tackle or just put any form of pressure on somebody. Now, they, Shrewsbury, were trash, right? And I said in my prediction that I thought they were terrible and we were going to win 4-0. So I was close enough. I'm not angry at Randall because he's ruined my prediction, but a better team scores that goal and then doesn't concede after 60 seconds. And we saw what happened against Huddersfield in that their heads went down when they conceded. And then we then didn't get back into the game as a result of that. The only reason that yesterday went so well is that Shrewsbury were so poor that we managed to get straight back into the game. My other frustration with him is he's on our set pieces and he's not beating the first man. And then when he does beat the first man, it sails all the way over the back. Now we've got these two absolute behemoths at centre-back that are just waiting to climb above everybody and rise above everybody and put the ball in the back of the net. But time after time yesterday, we're not beating the first man from corners, and then we took a free kick in the second half and it's just drifted over everybody. And if that's our set piece taker, then we're not going to score from corners, which is a shame. So hopefully he can knuckle that one down, as if he's going to be our set piece taker now over Burrows, then that's definitely something that needs to improve.
Well, I was just going to add on with that. That's part of my lowest score as well, because his set pieces, I just wanted to sort of like, felt like I had to justify his set. I think I sat next to you when we had the free kick, when Odo won it, which was never a free kick in the first place. What was that? It just sort of went over a throwing pretty much the other side. If he's going to do the free kicks, he just needs to have a little bit of practice on the practice ground, concentrate, take a little bit of time and get him right, because he has got the ability to do it. He's just not doing it consistently enough. I think we should move on from Randall.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk a lot about the attacking players, but really, I think that yesterday's performance was one that was built on a really strong defensive platform, built by just a really solid back four. I thought, you know, Sparks obviously had an issue yesterday with fitness or whatever it was. You know, he was ill and he really looked off it. But when it was that back four of Curtis at left back, Fernandez and Wallin at centre back, and Dornelli at right back. I mean, first of all, what a proud day for the academy. Dornelli and Fernandez both playing, both putting in good performances, both looking pretty at home in men's football. So fair play to all the academy coaches for that. That was, must have been a really nice moment for them. And also just the other two were unbelievable. I mean, Oscar Wallin was superb. There was this 5-minute spell in the first half where I don't think he lost a single duel, and he probably got in, you know, 6 or 7 of them, and he was winning headers. He was sliding in. He was winning it on the ground. He was going high up and pressing high up. He was just excellent all day, and I don't think you can blame him at all for the goal. Or Manny for that note. I think the two centre halves were fantastic. And then Sam Curtis was just brilliant. He looks like an absolute pocket rocket. I mean, he's physical, so I don't think this sort of he's bad at physicality. He's not played men's football. I think he showed yesterday that actually the League of Ireland, even though the technicality is not the best, the physicality that he's developed from playing 60 games in there as a 16-year-old and 17-year-old definitely showed yesterday. He was shrugging people off the ball. He was rapid. He looked so fit. Yeah, the defence yesterday were my biggest positive, because I just thought all of them were absolutely superb. And Sam Curtis going forward as well was just an added bonus. And if he can strike up a rapport with either Poku or Ado, depending on where he plays on Saturday, we will be a very good team.
I will echo what you said there, Charlie, because I did think the defence was really good. And I was really impressed by Sam Curtis to see him come leaps and bounds from where we saw him, even at the end of pre-season and into the first two games. And to see him come this far and he's really quite impressed me. On the other flank, not so much. And I hate to be the one that's negative after such a great win, but Sparks, for me, I can't see where the drop-off has been, considering, you know, he was a part of a League One winning defence. And for the first three games of the season, he's been really bad. And in that back line, you know, we've been talking about Wallin and Fernandez and Curtis, and we've sort of been giving Sparks sort of leeway because they're new signings and they've got to get into it. But we're in the third game of the season now, and Sparks gave the ball away at least 4 times and then went off, not because he was injured, but because he was ill. And I don't think that's acceptable. And it might be a bit harsh, but I don't think it's acceptable for a player at this level, when we're meant to be, you know, a team competing for playoff positions, to, after 30 minutes and giving the ball away 4 times, which led to at least 1 or 2 Shrewsbury chances, to sit down and say, I'm ill. That decision should have been made right at the start, that he wasn't well enough to start and he shouldn't have started. And look, we played Dornelli on and Curtis and they swapped. And I thought Dornelli played excellently in comparison to Sparks. And I'm happy to give Sparks the time because he's a new signing. But that if he's not well enough to play 30 minutes, you know that before the game. He should never have come on the pitch in the first place.
I think that's really harsh, Max. Especially because, I mean, if you actually look at the timeline of it, so he said he was ill on Friday morning. He didn't come into training. And then he woke up on Saturday and he felt okay. And if you were a footballer and you wake up in a morning and you think you can play a football game that day, you should be there and let your manager make the decision. And I genuinely believe he will have felt like he could have got through that game and could have played that game, because otherwise he wouldn't have gone on that pitch. And he gave it his best go. He wasn't great. He wasn't as bad as you're making out. He didn't, you know, have any calamitous moments, calamitous errors that led to anything, you know, massively detrimental in terms of the result. It wasn't a good performance. I think I gave him a 4 in the player ratings. But to say that being ill and sitting down and saying you're ill is unacceptable, I think is so harsh, because all I think he was doing was making himself available to his manager for a game that he thought he could play.
I completely disagree, Charlie. And I think that's quite silly. If he hasn't showed up to training on Friday and he's working on Saturday and gone, oh yeah, I'm fine, but he hasn't trained, that is the biggest tell that he shouldn't play. And that maybe Ferguson should hold some of the blame as well for selecting him after he hadn't trained on Friday. But that's ridiculous. If he's ill, and he can't play until the first half even, then he shouldn't have been selected in the first place, I don't think. And him not showing up to training on Friday makes that worse for me.
Forget the fact that he was ill. His performance was fucking awful. Let's not even talk about the first two games. Let's just talk about yesterday. His passing was awful. His disposition, he was just really, really not very good. Personally, I can't remember who I was speaking to at the time, but when he went down, I actually thought he was injured. And I actually said to whoever I was, I think that's an embarrassment injury to get him taken off because he was that bad. Obviously, we then found out that he was ill, which made it even worse. And I'm 100% with you, Max. If you're not very well, if you're not fit enough to train the day before, you shouldn't be playing. You know, end of story, you should not be playing. It's not an individual sport, it's a team sport. And if you've got any doubt that actually I'm going to hinder the team's performance, be the man, put your hand up, I can't play. You know, so yeah, that's why I give him a 3. I thought I was being harsh with a 3, but you know, I'm going to go with Max, and what do you do, 2.5? So yeah, no, sorry, Charlie, you're wrong. Max, 100% behind you there.
Okay. I'm gonna move it on from Mr. Sparks. I've got my own opinions on it, but I think they've all been covered by what other people have said. I was impressed with Dene O'Brien Brady. I've been calling him Dobby. I don't know if it's going to land as a nickname, but he obviously comes on against Huddersfield, does okay, but is dispossessed a couple of times. Of course, his first Football League appearance. I thought he was pretty good at Oxford away, and then he was really good yesterday. He did not need to be on the same level of creativity and progression as Collins was. Collins was just the one doing that. We didn't need two players driving through the lines. He did his job of mopping up, being in the right spots in our part of the field and progressing out really well. At Oxford, he was probably at fault for one of the goals by running into traffic in the middle of the field rather than passing it out to the fullback. There was not a single moment where I thought he made the wrong decision during the game yesterday. This is all, by the way, in the context is that Mohamedou Sissoko, who started against Huddersfield and is our loanee from Man City, is injured for, and someone can tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's 4 months with a hip injury or thigh injury that's going to require potentially surgery, which may have been confirmed. And so it's time for him to step up. We may well end up signing another midfielder to replace the injured Sissoko, but I'm really glad to see Dobby doing so well.
Just with that, Harry, I'm really like that Dobby. And I think with Mohamedou getting injured could be a blessing in disguise. You know, I liked him the first game. He got injured. It's give Dobby, I'm calling him Dobby now because of you, giving him that opportunity. I actually think he's taking it with both hands. Fair play to him. Really like the look of him. He looked composed. good luck. I hope he steps on from here. And do we need to bring another midfielder in? If I'm watching that at the moment, I'd say no.
My man of the match yesterday is a player that's not been mentioned yet, and that's O'Brien Brady's midfield partner, Archie Collins. He, for me, did his role perfectly. I think I gave him a 9 out of 10. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about I'd like to see his passing range a bit more. I don't think we saw it enough last season, and we definitely got that yesterday. He played the short balls when we needed to play the short balls. He was running into space when he needed to offer an option for the defenders. But the long balls especially, something we didn't really see a lot of from him last season. Playing over the top from one wing to the other, it just creates so many more chances for us. And when our fullbacks are up to full fitness and making those overlapping runs, I think our threat from the wings is going to be uncontrollable for a lot of teams. If he can pick up the ball in spaces and knock it to the opposite wing constantly, time and time again, there's not many teams in this division that will be able to handle that.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing that I really liked about Collins is the goal, the second goal for Poku, is that he sort of took a little nick on his foot and sort of hopped it out for two hops and then carried on. Now, how often would we see a midfielder potentially go down there and take the free kick and then slow the game down? But he had that tactical nous about him to move the ball on and then, or carry the ball forward, sorry, and then move it on so that Poku could ultimately nestle the ball into the back of the net in what I thought was probably one of the most fantastic performances that I've seen from Poku in recent times. When we talk about Poku, obviously, I think there was a few surprises that Hayes didn't do enough or that Hayes hadn't done enough to maybe get a start yesterday. I think that Poku showed that that's why he is our number one right winger. And he's done everything. Like, he had the guy, the left back on toast from pretty much sort of like the first minute. They couldn't handle him. They couldn't cope with him. It was such an all-round good performance that it sort of felt like, right, he's here now. And obviously we know that he potentially had a little knock before the Huddersfield game, so we can give him his dues there. But yesterday felt like, right, okay, obviously Mason Clark, first half of the season, last season was the main man. It looks like Pock is ready to make that step up for us now and be the centre point. I think that the part of the reason that maybe he had so much space, I know there's a little bit of a disagreement here, is that I think that actually Malik's runs gave him more space and Malik held up the defenders more and created more space for him. That was my view. So that's probably, I think I gave Malik a 6.5 in my rating. The disappointing thing is that he's missed an absolute sitter. And when I say sitter, this is worse than anything that Ricky has ever missed before, whether that be the one at Oxford last season or some of the ones that we had where people were screaming at him. This is like the most stonewall. I said at halftime, I think I could have scored that with my Crocs on. No issues. That was how bad it was. Like, I've seen a clip this morning. It's not even on target. Now, the keeper saved it, but it was going wide. So, like, take a touch. Just take the touch and put the ball in the back of the net. Like, I say that as if it's super easy. And maybe his positioning was slightly wrong and he'd committed too far, too close to the goal. But for me, that's an unforgivable miss on that one. But overall, I thought that Malik was really strong. And then Ricky did what Ricky does for 20 minutes or so. And then we score two more goals because he was just such a pest for that defence. So I don't really want to be too negative on either of our strikers because, like I said last season, is that it wasn't Ricky's job to score goals. Ironically, as our number nine, it was to occupy defenders. So Malik did that well and gave that space to Poku. But yeah, I mean, maybe I am being a little bit harsh in that he should have done better, but it'd be nice for both of them to get on the score sheet, hopefully in the next couple of games.
Well, as people know, I am a bit of a Malik supporter. I wanted Malik to start the games. I actually think Malik will come good. However, yesterday, I wasn't impressed with him. I just think he was given his chance and he didn't really take it. Hence why I only scored him a 5. And I'll give Ricky a 7 for when he come on. I see Charlie shaking his head. Yeah, don't worry, Charlie. You'll learn one day. But no, to be fair, Ricky done what he had to do. I thought he was a lot better than Malik, which I was quite disappointed with. He's just got he's got the ability, as you say, that chance he had. Fuck, you've got to do better than that. Really, you've got to do better than that. I think Ricky may have even taken it better himself, if I'm honest. But unless they both sort themselves out, we need to find a better option up front. Because at the moment, I think they're both not being good enough for us. But overall, the opposition was poor. We got a good win, and we got a way of not having a striker doing what a striker should be doing.
I mean, a 5 is a bit ridiculous from Malik. I mean, yes, he missed a big chance. And yes, it was probably one of the worst misses I've seen live from a Peterborough player at a football game. And I don't think Ricky has done anything that bad. But I think that was, you know, one of his only chances of the game. He had that other one-on-one, which actually, when you look at it, I've watched it back a few times and the angle was really tough for him. I thought his build-up play was really good. He did what Ricky can't do. And this is the big strength that Malik has that Ricky doesn't have, is that he held up the ball really well. Ricky cannot hold up the football. But Malik was getting it played into him when we were counter-attacking, holding it for a second and then playing off to Randall. And then that allowed us to attack with numbers because it allowed Curtis to get forward. It allowed, you know, at the beginning, it allowed Sparks to get forward a bit. It allowed Donny O'Brien Brady to join the attack. And it made so much space for Randall. So I think his link-up play yesterday was superb. And I gave him a 7. If he'd scored that one-on-one, he would have got a minimum of an 8 from me. Because I thought his build-up was absolutely excellent. I thought he held up the ball well. I thought he found really good areas to get the ball. He came deeper. I think he sacrificed his own goal-scoring position sometimes for the team to allow people like Ado and Poku to get in behind and to have their space. I think you guys have been really, really harsh on Malik, the ones that have given him a bad score, because I don't see, other than scoring that chance, how much more he could have done in that game.
Charlie, if we'd lost yesterday and you were reflecting on the fact that as a striker he'd missed a one-on-one and what was practically an open goal, would you still have given him a 7?
I think yes, because I think his link-up was good. I mean, let's be real, if we'd lost, I would have been in a lot worse mood when I was doing my player ratings. So I think everybody will have been down by 0.5 or one score anyway. But I think, yeah, it was a massive moment. He missed it. Everyone was absolutely baffled at the time as how he did it. But I just think his link-up play and the way that he sort of, he worked with that front four, the way he sort of worked with Randall, the way he worked with Ado, the way he worked with Poku was so much better than what Ricky did in the first two games of the season. And then Ricky coming on as a sub after Malik's played for 60 to 70 minutes is just an absolute cheat code against tired League One defenders. It's ridiculous. So I think that he did pretty much all he needed to do yesterday, Malik. He played really well, other than that end product, which will come. It was his first start of the season.
I think what we all need to do, and myself included, is take the emotion out of our performance rating. You know, you just said there, Charlie, that you'd give him a better performance a better score because we had a good performance and a good win, and he was feeling happy. I think we just need to be what it is, win, lose or draw. But overall, it was a good performance by the team. It was an enjoyable performance, and play like that for the rest of the season, I will be proper happy if we continue to do that. You know, we're relevant what scores we give players. You're always going to have players that are going to be playing really well. You had Poku, who was outstanding. You had Wallin, that was outstanding. You had Manny, that I thought was just steady. I don't think he was great. I don't think he was shit. I think he was steady. The performance yesterday was very, very good. But we also need to not lose sight of the fact that Shrewsbury were fucking dog shit. But let's take the emotion out of it and rate players based on the actual performance. But there's some good performances there, and I think we need to be mindful of that.
Exactly. Completely agree. As a podcast, we do average rating. Well, we do ratings for each of us for every player, and that results in an average rating. Our man of the match for the game was Kwame Poku, who kept a certain Kean Hayes out of the side, having had what was a pretty good performance against Oxford. And let's just jump briefly onto that game. Max, talk us through the Oxford game a bit. And do you think it was unfair that Hayes was dropped?
with the Oxford game, we had the same sort of like downfall that we had in the first sort of game against Huddersfield, which was we played for 30 minutes, excellent football, we're on top, we're the better team. And then all of a sudden, they have one chance, or they split our back line, or, you know, they played through our midfield. And we sort of just looked at each other like on the pitch and went, well, you know, what do we do? And we sank deeper and we sank deeper and we sank deeper, and it played to Oxford's strengths. And then all of a sudden it's one goal, two goals, and you're not going back against a very, very, very good side. I mean, and they are a good side because we lost them in the playoffs. They've recruited really well. They're in the Championship. They've recruited for that division. And to lose them 2-0, I didn't think was an awful result. But having said that, the standout performer from that match, and I think everyone would agree, was Kean Hayes. And I thought he was excellent. The way he picked the ball up, he carried the ball up the pitch, his build-up play, his link-up play, I thought was really impressive. And against a weakened Championship side, because that's what Oxford are, I thought he deserved to start against Shrewsbury. And if you wanted my opinion, I thought Randall probably deserved to be dropped after Oxford. And Poku to play in the 10 and let Hayes and Oddo, who both played brilliantly against Oxford, have their limelight. And Oddo got that chance to start and Hayes didn't, which confused me. I was proven wrong because Poku and Randall both had relatively good games, Poku especially. But I thought he was really, really good. And I was disappointed that he didn't start against Shrewsbury. I think it was the right decision after seeing the performance. But I really do think he deserved that start, considering how good of a performance he put in, despite having a really bad 60 minutes as a team.
Yeah, I agree with you, Max. Obviously, like we said, is that Oxford have made that step up. So it was clear to see that there was that golf in class, even though we only made the two or three changes, I think it was. Obviously, the disappointing thing to probably come out of Oxford for me was that Bila Kapric hasn't really painted himself in the best light. And that was maybe a little bit unfortunate. I don't want to go back to bashing Sparks, but I do think that the pass was a little bit of a stitch-up. But ultimately, Bilo should do better. When we think about the goalkeepers, I actually think that I'm actually really concerned between the both of them at the moment. Bila Kapric, obviously, we know that he's probably a better shot stopper than Steer. But he just does not have that ability to play the ball out with his feet at the moment, which is the way that we need our goalkeeper to play. When we think about Steer, there was a moment yesterday and we got really lucky, like no doubt about it, in that he's come charging out. He's absolutely clattered Marquise, I think it was. And then the flag's gone up for offside. Now, he's made that decision to run out because he thinks that the ball's in play. He's got nowhere near it. And if the flag doesn't go up, he's off, without a shadow of a doubt. Like, denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, last man back, all of the above, it's outside the penalty area. It's a straight red for me. And where's that head loss come from? It just didn't seem right. I don't want to obviously go back to obviously yesterday too much, but I think it's another one that he should save. I know that it's taken a deflection, or it's at least one that Bila Kapic would save. Now, we know that Bila Kapic made some really good saves in the first half and made some really good saves in the second half. I'm just a little bit concerned about our goalkeepers, unfortunately, at the moment.
Yeah, I think we're being a bit harsh on Steer. I mean, there are arguments that potentially he could have saved some of the goals that have gone in against him, but if he does save them, they're worldies. And there's no point in saying, oh, well, Bila Kapic would have saved that, because Bila Kapic would have fucked up with his feet by the time that he'd got to make that save. So, you know, I think it's stupid. Steer's fine. He's a comfortable League One goalkeeper. He's not amazing. He's not he's not, you know, a world-beating goalkeeper. He's not James Trafford at Bolton when they had him and he went off to Burnley for 16 million. But he's fine for a League One goalkeeper. He's relatively solid. I'm happy to discount the error where he came and cleared it and, well, attempted to clear it and took the man out, because it's almost the opposite of what Bilicapic did, right? Where he just dallied in his own box and got nicked off it at Oxford. So if he does that, at least he was proactive and aggressive. And that's what I want from a goalkeeper. And I think it's demanded in this system that they need to make quick decisions, and sometimes they'll get them wrong. And he got away with it, but he got away with it. So for me, it's relatively irrelevant. I don't think Steer's made a big error this season. I think he's made one big error in a posh shirt, which was at Oxford away last season when we lost to 5-0 and he kicked it on a striker's head. But in general, he's a solid goalkeeper. I don't think there are any concerns for me having Jed Steer as number one in League One. He's absolutely fine.
I think it raises an interesting question, because I think we all know Jed did not know that the Shrewsbury player was offside when he made that challenge. But Ash, given where it was on the pitch, do you think it was a red if it had been onside?
Yeah, it's as clear as day. The guy's knocked the ball around him, and then Steers, if Steer doesn't hit him, he's on the halfway line. I'm not even thinking about giving a red. Like, the card's already out as soon as he's made the contact. Absolutely. And I know that John's saying that, obviously, well, we know that Bilo's weaker with his feet, but Shrewsbury didn't put that press on us yesterday. Bilicapic would have been more than fine in that game yesterday. Yes, he would. John, you can check. He would have been. Tell me.
Did you see his error at Salford in the FA Cup where he just passed the ball to a striker? They didn't put a press on.
Yeah, but that was further forwards. He was trying to make a ridiculous pass from basically right back all the way across to left back.
He makes too many errors, Ash. You cannot trust Bilicapic to play in goal because he makes too many calamitous errors at the minute.
Steer can't reach the ball.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how good your shot stopping is if you're making this many basic errors and it's constant. He's not learning from his mistakes. Bilicapic is a better shot stopper than Steer. I'll give you that. But in every other facet of the game, Jed Steer is above him.
I don't think so. I disagree massively.
Like, what's he better at than Steer, other than saving shots and being taller?
That's the job of a goalkeeper, to stop the ball going in the back of the net.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. No, Bilicapic doesn't come out. He doesn't Joe Lewis and come and catch the ball and then drop it. Like, there's no way that he does that. I've not seen him do that. He's weaker with his feet, and that is all. Other than that, I think he's a better goalkeeper than Jed Steer.
But the defence don't have any confidence in Bilicapic. You can't at this stage, surely. He's worth a goal a game every time he's in net at the minute. Cheltenham made an error. Every time he gets a chance, he makes an error. How can you put him in over Steer, who doesn't make these basic errors?
Well, because I would like my goalkeeper to save the ball and not put us 1-0 down yesterday. Like, it's as simple as that. I don't think that Bilicapic is under the pressure to make a mistake yesterday at all. I don't think so. And you go back to last season when we were there and we won 2-1, didn't we? The way that we conceded was because it was so windy and the ball went over his head, unfortunately. Like, that's the way that it is. Like, I think we're going to do this all season, but I think that there's going to become a time where we get one too many goal conceded that we think that somebody should have reached it.
Well, you know, I'll just sat back again listening to you two go at it. I'm not a fan of Bilo. I know he's a young goalkeeper. I'm not sure he's probably League One level, or if he's promotion contention that we need as a goalkeeper. And also with Jed, he ended the season okay. Well, we'd done okay when we had him in last year, but there's signs of him this season so far that is a bit concerning. He doesn't seem to be that confident. He doesn't seem to be that that good, I suppose. And as for that that foul, that whatever you want to call it, yesterday when he come out, what was he doing coming out? There's no need for him to do that. We was comfortably in the game. Even if we had conceded, then so be it. I think we'd have got a few more. But if that was an offside, in my opinion, that's a red card. 100% that's a red card. Whether the player was going away, he was the last man. It was like fucking assault. So I think he should have been sent off if it was an offside. Got away with it. He didn't know that it was going to be offside. And if I'm honest, who knows? I know you say, Ash, that Bilo will end the season as number one. He probably will, but not necessarily for Peterborough. It wouldn't surprise me if come January we may go for another goalkeeper, because Jed needs to pick it up. Bilo's not the answer. So, yeah, who is going to be the end of the season as Peter Rowe's number one?
I mean, listen, let me just say quickly, I don't think Jed Steer would have been sent off. I'm pretty confident that if there wasn't the offside flag up, the card that came out from the referee would be a yellow one. I'm pretty confident of that because it was stopping of a promising attack, not denial of clear goal scoring opportunity in the laws, which is a yellow, not a red. But just sort of on the general point, we have a young team. We have a really young team, right? And we can talk about it. We've made mistakes this season, one of them being Bielo on Tuesday night. And one of the things that has really annoyed me, and it really annoyed me after Tuesday night, is the absolute cesspit of crybabies on Twitter that only come out when Posh lose, only come out when there's a young player making a mistake and they can pile on. They don't tweet when Posh win 4-1 away at Shrewsbury and a young team come out and shush them. They don't tweet. They only ever post. And I see it on Twitter because that's where I'm most active. But you see it at games in the main stand and in the London Road End, people that don't go to the away games. You see it. I mean, you don't hear it in the away ends because luckily none of these absolute couch merchants decide to go to their away games. But it's absolutely pathetic. It is so pathetic. The way that the pylon that came after Tuesday night's game made me very angry. It made me almost embarrassed to be a Peterborough United fan because I know for a fact that the players read social media. With a young group of players, they will read social media. And what they don't need is after two really tough games against a relegated championship team and a current championship team, where they've lost 2-1 and they're 2-0 and there are a lot of positives, to be going onto social media and reading just stupid, ignorant stuff said about them after two games of the season is pathetic. And I will say that all season, no matter how bad it gets, the people that are piling on this young team, I just think that is absolutely shocking.
Okay, Charlie, that was so passionate and that was fantastic to listen to, you know. However, slightly different, it's irrelevant, it's a young team. Yeah, they're learning their trade, they're coming on. Why can't they be criticised? They can be praised, they can be criticised. You know, we don't live in a little bubble world where, oh, we can't say horrible things about young people. It is what it is. Yeah, credit where it's due, but then they need to be criticised. They get criticised, providing it's done in a structured way, 100% with that. Positive, I thought it was a really good performance overall by everybody. We won 4-1, up the fucking posh. What we got next, Harry?
Yeah, well, we've got next. Charlie will be at a boxing gym near you every weeknight to take on anyone who criticises the team. But I think we've wrapped up the Shrewsbury game and the Oxford game. We have next Saturday, Exeter City away, a nice short journey for all posh fans. I was looking at how Exeter have done so far. They, by all accounts, played pretty well against Rotherham, beating them 1-0 in the opening game of the season. And yesterday, they lost to Cobblers away 2-1. But if you look behind the stats, not that stats are everything, and there's only one stat that really matters, and that's goals. But if you look behind that, they had over 60% possession and something like double the number of touches in the box compared to Cobblers. So it sounded like it might have been a little bit of a smash and grab, which, of course, posh fans will be who were at Cobblers last year will know all about from that team. I think that it's going to be an interesting one for us to better judge where we're at as a team because of the fact that Huddersfield were clearly a team that's likely to be in the top six and Shrewsbury are a team that's likely to be in the bottom six. I think Exeter have a lot more about them, somewhere in the middle of that. And if we can make Exeter look as bad as we made Shrewsbury look, I think this is a good sign that we're actually one of the teams towards the top of the table. If it's a slog, maybe we're really a mid-table side. To the point that Dell made earlier about the fact that, you know, we shouldn't get too excited yet because Shrewsbury are obviously, you know, they were honking in certain areas. But, yeah. Max, what are your thoughts on the Exeter game?
You know, you praised sort of Exeter start the season against Rotherham. I actually think that's because Rotherham are really quite poor. And I think, you know, we've seen the levels of Championship sides. You know, Birmingham fought really hard to win in their opening day. Huddersfield came and showed us Championship quality. Rotherham lacked that. Rotherham had one of the worst Championship sides to recent date. They've come down and made some excellent signings. And I don't think they're very good. And that's why Exeter was so good against them. I've watched a few of the highlight reels. And it was relatively balanced. And then Northampton was a set piece goal, I think, which I think we're gonna struggle with as well. To preview Exeter. I think we're gonna struggle with that. They've got some really big players that are gonna beat us for size. In the box, especially obviously with Neverin and Kipriano coming back, it could be a bit of a struggle in the box from corners. So it'll be interesting to see how that fares from what I saw against Southampton.
Max, we're far better equipped to deal with set pieces this season, especially with Kipriano coming back, than we are last season. I'm not really sure why you think we're not equipped to deal with set pieces when we've potentially got Manny Fernandez, Oscar Valin, Hector Kipriano. They're all three absolute giants that, you know, we only really had Kipriano last season that could head the ball.
I think this back line is still relatively new, though. You can talk about height and you can say that, yeah, we're better equipped than last season. I don't think that really matters. Hector Kipriano hasn't played a game yet. Neither has Neverin. And they're basically, I'm almost adamant, both of them will start. And Exeter has that size, maybe not advantage, but they have that size and they have that ability to score from set pieces, which they scored a lot from last season as well. So this back line is still relatively new. We've talked about the goalkeepers already, and I do feel like there's a lack of command in the defence. So regardless of whether or not we have the height equipped to deal with the set pieces, I still think that it's going to be a problem. And just because we're tall doesn't mean that we're amazing at defending set pieces.
Shrewsbury were one of the most efficient sides from set pieces last season, and we dealt with them absolutely fine. So I don't think there's anything to be worried about Exeter set pieces. I really don't.
John, this leads to an interesting question. Are you dropping one of the two defenders that we've got in at the minute for Neverin?
Yeah, so I think Fernandez played well at Shrewsbury. I think he did really well, actually. And it was probably his best performance in a Posh shirt. And I think it's right that I call that out, because I've been fairly critical of him and I still have my doubts about him playing the system. But one thing I would say, and I don't know how much it's been picked on yet, is Valin has actually been playing on his wrong side of defence. So he's been playing on the left-hand side and he's been brilliant. So no, it's kind of gone unnoticed, but there is potential that he's going to be even better if he plays on the right-hand side of that defence. And then Neverin, if he comes in, is left-footed. So immediately we have better balance in the defence for build-up play. So, yeah, I mean, it is a call because Neverin obviously looked very good in pre-season, but we've not really seen him against a League One outfit yet. So we don't know too much about his defending, but I think he did enough over pre-season to suggest that he's got enough ball-playing ability to be a better fit for the system than Manny Fernandez. I think we'll go there and I think we'll have more possession. So I think it's important that we get ball players on the pitch. And yeah, I think our first choice centre-back pairing will be Neverin and Valin. So that's what I would go with straight away.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to disagree with that because I really like the look of Neverin. I actually think he's going to be the centre back pairing with him and Wallin. However, I know I didn't sort of rate Manny too high on Saturday. I don't think he really done anything wrong, but then again, he could have been a bit more. He'd done what he had to do. Whereas I think Neverin will do that, and he'll also build the play up. But you know, based on the overall performance from yesterday, Saturday, whenever this goes out, we should stick to the same team. Even Randall, although I've had my sort of voices for changing him to put somebody else in the number 10. We won 4-1. We played very well as a team. We need to, you know, keep that consistency going. And I think that should also start. Neverin, if he's fit enough to come on, maybe. Kipriano, if he's fit enough, bring him on, blend him in. But what's his name? Dobby has done well enough to start the game, in my opinion. I would also point out changing, going right off a different tangent here. I'm actually taking Charlie to Exeter next week. So that could be a really, really interesting journey there. Not sure about the journey back, because if you don't stop fucking going on, I might just leave him there and somebody else can bring him home. So it may also be worth recording the journey just for to see how he survives. But as everybody knows, Exeter is one of our favourite away games. I'm really looking forward to going down there, and hopefully we, you know, we can back up on, follow up on what we performed yesterday. So looking forward to it. What about you, Charlie? Looking forward to it? Just a little nod or a no?
I'm looking forward to it, Del. What I will say, though, is you've just made a ridiculous statement about Donny O'Brien Brady and Hector Kyprianou, the club captain and probably the best midfielder in League One, not going straight back into a team that he literally will run. So I don't know how you can... I know Donny's been good in the two games that he's played. I know he's been impressive. And I do think that if we brought someone in over his head to be sort of the third midfielder, fourth midfielder, however you consider it, I think he will be... That would be harsh on Donny to bring a replacement in for him completely. But okay, you have to bring Hector into that midfield partnership. You have to. He's our club captain. He's an unbelievable midfielder. And just yesterday, I got excited because I was watching the game and I thought, we still have George Nevitt and Hector Kyprianou to bring into this team. We're going to be great. So I don't see how you cannot bring Hector in.
Okay. I like Hector, and you know, I said he should be captain and all this. I've really got a strong thing for him, but I'm obviously not in that way. But Fergie doesn't like changing a winning team, you know. So we've also got to take that in consideration. We won, we performed very well. Why should anybody jump straight back into the team, however good they are? You know, he's done nothing wrong. He's done absolutely nothing wrong, and even Manny, you know, I criticise the lad quite a lot, but he hasn't done enough to deserve to be dropped. You know, players have got to earn their right to be in a starting 11. And at the moment, the 11 yesterday, they've done well. They've done enough to deserve starting on Saturday.
Kyprianou did earn his right last season, where he was one of the best midfielders in League One. Like, that is his right. So I'm with Charlie on that one. I'm also with Charlie just quickly on the negativity after the last two games. So what I think it was really nice to get that win yesterday. Positivity back around. I'm really looking forward to a pitch side posh that we've got coming up. Obviously, we had the mic'd up with Fergie that we were all sought after. So that was really good. So it was nice. Like we said on one of the previous episodes, it felt like everything had got stale because there was no football content. I think that we're now past that, and now Posh Plus is now going to come into its own and provide really strong content for us because the football has started again. So I'm really looking forward to Pitch Side Posh. As for the Exeter game, I am going to quickly chuck in a prediction before anybody else. I'm going to go that we will win 2-1. And my first goal scorer is going to be Varlin, because we are going to score from a corner because Joel Randall is going to get it right.
Yeah, thank you for jumping the gun there, Ash. But yes, let's do our score predictions. I think that everyone correctly predicted, except for me, that we would beat Shrewsbury. I said it would be 2-2 because I was just being a bit different, even though I did think we were going to win. So, Ash, that was a 2-1. John, let's hear it from you. What do you think the score's going to be against Exeter?
After seeing yesterday, my confidence has risen. I'm going to go with a new look defence with Nevitt coming in. I think we're going to keep a clean sheet. I think we're looking good going forward. I'm going to go with a 2-0. We're going to get vengeance on last season where we should have won and didn't. And we're all going to be very positive on the next pod again.
Del, what have you got?
Well, I genuinely can't remember the last time we won at Exeter. Can anybody? No, I just can't remember. However, I think that's going to change on Saturday. And I think we are going to win 4-2. And I also think that, didn't quite hear what I scored the first goal. See, I'm being positive. Manny has scored the first goal.
Okay.
Del, I'm going to jump in there because you sound like a Dalek, as you'd say to me. I'm going to go for 3-1, Posh. I think, yeah, Exeter's a tough place to go. But I do think with the new look team and with Hector back, we'll be really good. So yeah, I'll go 3-1.
Max, who have you got?
I think we're going to win, but I don't think it's going to be easy. I'm going to go 1-0. I think it's going to be a bit scrappy. And I will go... I'll go Joel Randle for the first goal.
And lads, who have you got before I come up with my prediction?
I think we're going to end the Exeter away jinx. I think we're going to win 3-0.
Nice. I'm not going to be all edgy and predict that we'll draw because everyone else is guessing that we'll win. I think we will win, but some of the comments that people have made today about the defence I think are interesting for what it's worth. I think that we will stick with Fernandez and Wallin, and that will be to our benefit in a game like, this. But I can see it being cagey. I'm going for a 2-1 posh with scrappy goals for both teams. I think we're there, gents. Just a comment that anyone going to the Exeter game who's listening to this, please do pick up a programme. You may well see a comment within it from Up the Poshcast themselves and our preview of the game in association with Exeter Football Club. And we're there. Thank you for listening. And hopefully, when you listen to the podcast after the Exeter game, we are just as chipper and have no negative comments whatsoever to make about any players. And we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for listening. Up the posh.
Up the posh.
Up the posh.
Up the posh.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast. You fucking soft cunt.